a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's your Jazz Notes podcast. I'm your host, Ben Anderson. You can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. You can read me at kslsports.com. As always, appreciate you tuning in and listening. If you would, subscribe to us on iTunes. We always appreciate it. Try and bring you at least a couple of episodes a week of the Jazz Notes podcast, whether it's me or Cleon Wall. Sarah Todd from the Deseret News often joins me, though this is a solo podcast today. Again, we do appreciate you tuning in. All right, we got to talk about a few things for the Jazz, specifically their very, very poor start to the second half of the season after the All-Star break. I want to talk about the Jazz being a momentum-driven team, which is something you've probably heard me say or seen me tweet quite a few times this year. I've written about it at KSL Sports. Also, what the Jazz have done when it comes to identifying what their issue is and then not being able to fix it, which is concerning. And then I think the big topic of conversation, it's a narrative, and I think it might be an inaccurate narrative, though it certainly has some merit, is this five-out approach teams are taking against the Utah Jazz, where they run five smaller players against the team, and then the Jazz don't seem to have an ability to react. And what actually we're seeing when that happens, I want to talk about that as well. So that's coming up. Let's talk about the Jazz and my theory on them being a momentum-driven team. Momentum is something you can't capture. You can't create it. You can't force it. It has to come somewhat organically. And organic in a basketball game or really in any sport is probably a bad thing. It's cool if you can do it. It's cool if you're good organically. It's hard when you rely on that to be your best weapon. And we can look back at the season so far for the Jazz where they started 13-11 and just didn't quite have much momentum. And then once they did, and obviously it happened after they cut Jeff Green and traded Dante Exum and got Jordan Clarkson, that created or sparked a little momentum for the team. And they won 19 of 21 games and were fabulous and just were basically unbeatable. And it didn't matter if they were playing the Clippers. It didn't matter if they were playing, you know, the Orlando Magic, good teams, bad teams, whatever. The Jazz were just going to beat you. And they were going to be very impressive doing it. And their lone losses were, you know, Miami on the road, who was very good. And then the Pelicans when you ran into a crazy performance for Brandon Ingram. So it just didn't matter. The Jazz were playing great basketball. And that was the momentum at their back. And because they're young, because they're maybe not their best player, but maybe their most noticeable player, and I think the guy who sets the tone of that locker room overall, which is Donovan Mitchell, because he's young, I'm not sure that he yet has the maturity, just as a leader, to bring the same energy every night that you need to be a great basketball player. The way LeBron James does at this point in his career, I think Kawhi Leonard probably does at this point in his career, just the best players in the league, know how to do night in and night out, and the true, you know, leaders in the NBA. Kevin Durant knows how to bring it every night. Steph Curry knows what to bring every night. They don't let themselves get rattled by outside noise as much. And I think it's totally understandable to expect that that's going to be the case for Donovan Mitchell at this point. He just does not have that role under his belt long enough and has not had that role long enough to know how to harness it or block it out or not pay attention to momentum. I just don't think the Jazz are there yet. I think they're too immature to know how to fix that yet. And that's really hard to deal with because as good as it is, as much as it's willing to wrap its arms around you and give you a hug and help you win 19 of 21, it will just as quickly leave you, and you'll lose five games straight like the Jazz did just before winning four games going into the All-Star break. Or you'll lose three in a row like you have coming out of this All-Star break because you were a little too casual going up against the Spurs, and as soon as it went wrong, you lost all your momentum, and then you let that carry over to the Rockets game, and then you let that carry over to the Phoenix Suns game. And that's a major issue because, again, momentum is not something you can actually control. You can ride it. You can hope it lives on, but you can't harness it. You can't, you know, ration it out. There's no way to do that. And it means that you're going to be inconsistent. You're going to enter every game from an inconsistent standpoint. You're not going to have familiarity from one game to the next unless you're on a good streak. But it also means when you're on a bad streak, it feels like it's going to be unbreakable. You know, when we saw the Jazz lose five games in a row, going in or getting ready to go into the All-Star break with Houston, well, I think it was Portland on a Friday night, Houston on a Sunday night, Dallas on a Monday night, and Miami on a Wednesday night, you saw four more games that the Jazz probably shouldn't have won, and you say, Jazz are going to enter this All-Star break with a nine-game losing streak, and it felt very realistic. And I think the Jazz fans at that point felt like the sky was falling. And then you won four in a row, and you had that momentum, and you forgot about it. And now you're back in the midst of a three-game losing streak, and it feels like, again, it's going to be, you know, where's the end? Let's say you lose to Boston. Well, hopefully you can beat Cleveland or Washington or these horrible teams the Jazz have coming up, but San Antonio's not any good. You know, and the Jazz lost to San Antonio, and Phoenix really isn't any good, and the Jazz lost to Phoenix. So I think because they're so momentum-driven, it feels hard to understand how they're going to be able to break out of these games. The good news is that they have. They do, and you're just not going to lose every game. So the Jazz will break that streak. They will break this streak. I think there's actually a decent chance they break it against the Boston Celtics and kind of surprise people, and that'll turn into positive momentum because they have a string of very bad teams that they get to play, with the exception of Boston twice now, coming up over the next little bit, and they'll get back to having won 8 of 10 and be right back in the thick of things in the playoffs, and we will forget largely about this three-game losing streak, but that doesn't mean the problems that they're experiencing right now aren't real. But I think maybe the biggest problem is they are a momentum-driven team, and I think that's my theory on what this team's going to be, and I suspect they can't fix that this year because they're young, because of the personalities they have on the team. They just don't have consistency on what they bring every single night to the floor. And that's a problem, and that's something you've got to figure out how to address in the offseason. Another problem that the Jazz have had, or at least they've been able to point out recently, and I noticed it a lot in the locker room after the Houston Rockets loss, where I actually thought the Jazz played okay with the exception of the third quarter when they were so bad that it cost them the game. But Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, even Quinn Snyder, talked about the mindset of the basketball team. And what this mindset is of, you know, how hard you're going to play or what you're going to bring to the table or what you care about defensively. And the Jazz lost that mindset. At least that was the mindset they had, was that they weren't sure what they were going to do. And again, that goes back to the inconsistency. But there's a difference between identifying that you've got the wrong mindset and fixing that mindset. You can't just identify that you have an illness. You have to treat the illness for it to get better. And I think the Jazz have diagnosed it, and I don't think they've treated it yet. And I think that is the other part that's troubling, where yesterday at shoot-around, and I'm recording this on Tuesday after the Jazz lost to the Suns, yesterday at shoot-around before they played the Suns, Joe Ingles and Bojan Bogdanović both talked about the defensive issues. They both talked about knowing that they have to play better in certain spots. They both talked about they know what they have to address to fix the problem. But again, just identifying it, pointing to where the problem is, and fixing it are two different steps, and they haven't taken that second step yet. And that's concerning, and at least it's frustrating. Maybe it's not concerning, because you have to know what the problem is before you can fix it. They just haven't taken that second step of fixing it. So I think that's where we are looking at the Jazz right now, is recognizing that we know what this problem is. We know the Jazz know what this problem is, and they just don't know how to fix it, or they haven't done it yet. And maybe that takes extended practice, and they haven't had it. You know, they had a shoot around on the second night of a back-to-back against Houston, but that comes at 5 o'clock, basically 2 hours before the game starts. And then they didn't practice Sunday, and then they aren't practicing today because they're playing, you know, all these games on every other night, that they're trying to just get any little bit of rest that they can right now, even though they just came out of the All-Star break. They're trying to get any little rest they can and probably get away from basketball and clear their minds. And maybe that's the step they're taking to address this mindset, is get away from it, clear your head a little bit, and that will help. Rest becomes an interesting issue for the Jazz, and I'll be curious if it's one of the underrated things we're not talking about, even though we talked about it a lot in the summer. how much energy do Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell actually have right now? And Donovan's actually been really good scoring the ball his last two games. He's been up over 30. But they played international basketball all summer long, competitive games that meant something. And then they went right into the season. And I thought Donovan looked exhausted going into the All-Star break. He looks like he's gotten a little bit of his energy back. But I'll be curious how well that holds up, because there are stretches in games where it just abandons him. And that happened in the third quarter last night against the Suns. He was great last night. He was 11 of 19. But in the third quarter, he was 1 of 5 from the floor, scored 7 points, was a minus 10 in the minutes that he was on the floor and had a turnover. He just wasn't good in the third quarter. And I wonder how much of that is exhaustion versus how much of that is just, just being a new player in the NBA and still trying to figure out when to take over a game from a scoring standpoint and when to take over the game as a playmaker. And he's made the wrong decision last night. He tried to keep scoring in the third quarter. And so often, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jordan Clarkson were one pass away, right next to him. The help defender came one pass away to try and stop him from driving to the paint, and he still did it and either pulled up for a mid-range jump shot or kind of a sweeping hook shot instead of just kicking that ball out for an open three to, the best three-point shooting team in the NBA. The Jazz have it, and they're not utilizing it. And some of that is playmaking, and some of that was Donovan Mitchell last night. And I wonder how much of that is energy and exhaustion from how much basketball he's played over the last, 18 months now, because it goes back to the beginning of last season. That's one thing I'd be concerned about for the Jazz. So mindset for the team, they've identified that they have a mindset issue. They've identified that they have an inconsistent mindset in games. They seem to get down on themselves when things go wrong. They don't know how to fix it, and they haven't even taken the steps towards fixing that. So I think that's going to be a key for the Jazz watching. They've diagnosed the problem. They haven't started treating the problem. That's a big gap. Now, let's talk about this five-man lineup the team's been playing against the Jazz, and this narrative that's been created that Mike D'Antoni broke the Utah Jazz. I think the first thing I want to say is I don't believe in the concept of teams being broken. How many teams have broken in the NBA? Teams get eliminated in the playoffs. Who gets broken? Who gets irreparably exposed in the league without a major injury or losing a horrible trade? Like, unless you obviously make an enormous difference to your roster, the idea that the Jazz won 36 games going to the All-Star break and somehow broke because of one performance by Eric Gordon, who scored 50 points, and the Rockets ran out a lineup of players that were under 6'7", and that somehow killed the Jazz, and it's unfixable, is crazy, and it's wrong. It's just a wrong narrative. It's easy to talk about. It's convenient to point to. It's broken is a good buzzword. It's very hyperbolic and dramatic, but it's not accurate. And I think Jazz fans should remember that and think about that there's no such thing as breaking a team unless there's a major injury, and the Jazz don't have that right now. So that we should address right off the bat. Second of all, so what is the conversation about this five-man unit? The five-man small ball unit is that you spread the floor with shooters. You don't go inside the perimeter. Rudy Gobert gets pulled out of the paint. Mike D'Antoni says, if Rudy Gobert is near the paint, we're doing something wrong. So now every team takes the approach of pulling Rudy Gobert out of the paint. Go back and watch the Suns game last night. As painful as it is, just watch the third quarter when the Jazz lost the game and the beginning of the fourth quarter. How often was Rudy Gobert not near the rim? Almost never. I mean, Rudy was always in the paint. Every single trip down the floor, Rudy Gobert is back in the paint. And maybe he's too far back in the paint and he's letting Ricky Rubio hit a 15-footer, which Rubio can hit. And we saw that for 2 years in the Jazz. Or he gets so far under the rim that Aaron Baines pushes him under and gets an offensive rebound. That happened several times as well. Or he wasn't able to help because, he was too far under the paint or wasn't able to step out on that jump shooter who was willing to take an 8-footer instead of a 2-footer. But this narrative that somebody is pulling Rudy Gobert out of the paint, whether that's Aaron Baines or Dario Saric or whoever they wanted to play last night, and that was going to change the Jazz lineup, or that's what beat the Jazz, is it's actually just wrong. And it makes sense when you say it in your head. Oh yeah, you pull Rudy out and the other team gets layups. That makes sense to say, but if you watch the game, that's not what happened in the third quarter. So we should be careful with some of those things of setting this narrative that isn't actually accurate. And I think that's something that's worth going back and watching and realizing that really wasn't the issue last night. I think the five-man small ball unit is worse for the Jazz offensively than it is defensively. Let me say that again. The five-man unit that opposing teams are running against the Jazz is more disruptive to the Jazz offense than it is the Jazz defense. And the first elements we start to have of that is Bojan Bogdanović disappearing against the Houston Rockets. When they go small, he no longer has a matchup that he can take advantage of, either shooting threes, and then when they close out on the threes, he puts the ball on the floor and gets to the paint and is really effective and scores 21 points a game. Losing him as your second best scorer and really kind of the most consistent scorer the Jazz have, where Donovan Mitchell is a little bit more up and down, has been catastrophic to the offense. And then the other major issue is the Jazz are turning the ball over in these stretches, and that's what happened last night against the Phoenix Suns. The Jazz had 6 turnovers in the first half, and what happened? They were tied at 62 at the break. They had 13 turnovers in the second half, and they got blown out by 20 over the final 24 minutes. That was the major issue in the game, was the turnovers on the offensive side of the ball for the team. And why are they turning the ball over? Here's my theory. My thought is the Jazz are doing what you're taught to do your entire life playing basketball, which is when there's not a rim protector on the floor, when it's a smaller lineup, what should you do? Go to the rim, score there, get buckets in the paint, shoot over the smaller players. And it makes sense. It's a very logical, easy approach to the game. I think it's wrong. And I think that's what's so hard about the NBA right now, is you have to unlearn all your good habits for better habits. And that's a weird thing to ask people to do. So now the Jazz play this small lineup, and Bojan Bogdanović says, well, let me get into the paint and I'll shoot over you. Well, you can't get into the paint when you dribble shoulder high like Bojan Bogdanović does. And whether you're guarded by Kelly Oubre or Devin Booker or whoever it is, it doesn't matter. They're all 6'5" to 6'8", and they're quick. So it just doesn't matter. They all got the same skill set. And Javon Carter can step over and poke the ball away from you. That's a bad possession. Even if your idea was right that you're going to shoot over a smaller player in the paint, it's a bad possession because you couldn't even get to the point where you could execute correctly what you're trying to do. Donovan Mitchell did the same thing. He got into the paint against a smaller group and thought he was going to have an opportunity, and Javon Carter steps in and pokes the ball away. The exact same thing happened to Jordan Clarkson, where he says, I'm bigger than these guys. I've got a good low post game. I can turn around and fake you out and get a shot up. And when he goes into the paint, you have 3 smaller defenders collapse on him, and the Jazz stop looking to pass because they think, I'm going to go in solo and abuse this one-on-one lineup where I feel like I have a mismatch, and it's a trap. And the Jazz fell into it over and over and over in the third quarter last night, leading to 7 turnovers and only 7 made baskets for the Jazz in the entire period, and the game's essentially over when you enter the fourth quarter down 11 points. It's just, you are not set up in a good spot unless you play nearly perfect basketball for 12 minutes to step in and win. So the Jazz blew that, and they are operating with good basketball instincts and still making the wrong play. That's my theory on what's going on with this 5-man unit and why it's hurting the Jazz offense more than it's hurting the team's defense, because, yeah, they gave up 130 defensive rating. I think a lot of that is because they give up easy run-out layups off of the 5-man unit because they take bad layups that look like good shots but aren't actually good shots because you still have good defensive players in the low post that aren't 7 feet tall that make you think a layup is good because it's close to the rim, but it's the same trap the Jazz continue to put every other team into in the NBA where they say, don't shoot the three, go in and get a better shot. And then Rudy Gobert's there and he actually helps, you know, make what looks like a good shot into an actually terrible shot. I think the Jazz are falling into their own trap of doing that against smaller lineups, but because they're smaller, they think it's a good shot. As a result, they only end up taking 26 threes against the Phoenix Suns when they need to be taking 40 because they're shooting 38% from the floor, or I should say from the three-point line. And if you take 40 three-point attempts instead of 26, you've cut down turnovers because you're not getting into the paint and turning the ball over. Let's say you continue to hit 40% of those three over 14 more shots. That's what, 5 more threes, 4 more threes that you make right around there? Okay, so that's an extra 15 points. And it's not just the 14 or 15 points you're getting. It's that you're not giving up a layup the other direction on a turnover, which is basically a guarantee when there's a live ball steal above the free throw line. And the Jazz are giving that up. So you do that 7 times in the quarter. Let's say they score on 5 of those. I know they had a couple of turnovers. So that's 10 points. So not only are you not getting up the extra 3-point shots that you're hitting 40% of, you're giving layups the other direction. Every single one of those is a potential 5-point swing. Every single turnover for the Jazz in that situation is a potential 5-point swing. So if it goes wrong 4 times out of 10 that you do it, that's 20 points. And you lose the game by 20 points. That might be as simple as the game is for the Jazz and why that 5-man lineup is so destructive, and also the simple solution for how to fix it. Don't try to attack it off the dribble. Pass around, move the ball, make a commitment to passing, and you know what? Bojan Bogdanović taking a face-up three-point shot with a defender near him at this point is probably better than him trying to attack a smaller defender off the dribble, because it too often leads to turnovers. And the same can be said about Donovan Mitchell. The same can be said about Jordan Clarkson, probably Joe Ingles as well. Mike Conley even falls into that group. That is a problem for the Jazz that they can fix, and I think we'll learn how to fix, but I think that's one of the major issues I would focus on if I'm the Utah Jazz. That's it for your Jazz Notes podcast today. Appreciate you listening to me for the last 18 minutes. Again, subscribe, like us in iTunes, share us as much as possible, and give us a review. It does help us connect to other Jazz fans and hopefully creates a better quality of content. The wisdom of the crowds of Jazz fans is always exciting for me to read and interact with, and it certainly makes me better at my job, which hopefully gives you better content that you like to hear. It's the Jazz Notes podcast. Find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. Read me at KSLSports.com.